I'm excited, I guess, to talk about what we're going to talk about tonight, because I think it's a question that if we actually ask the question, do you need one, Paula? Do you need a study guide? You have one, okay. And, you know, that when we start to really think about, especially building on last week. So last week, we were looking at the prophecies about Jesus and how remarkably detailed some of them were, and we closed with the question, how in the world could the people of that time have missed that Jesus was the fulfillment of those prophecies? Because, you know, some of the, especially the religious leaders who knew the stories, they knew those Old Testament scriptures way better than we do. I mean, when it came time for that high priest to take 30 pieces of silver and give it to Judas as the price to betray Christ, he had to know inside and out the passage that David had written 1,000 years earlier that said he was going to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. I mean, the guy, how could he miss that? How could he not look at that and say, whoa, wait a minute. I know this passage that says somebody is going to betray the true Messiah for 30 pieces of silver. And then when they watched him die on the cross and they watched the soldiers not break Jesus' legs and they, you know, things like no broken bones and some of these prophecies, how could they have missed it? How could they have not realized at some point, this is the real deal. This really is him. And so that's kind of what we're building off of tonight. And we're going to answer that question tonight. And I think once we answer that question, there's a lot of things that are going to become very, very apparent about Scripture, particularly about what happened during that day and what's happening now. So let's get into the story tonight. We got to tell a story first. Luke ends his gospel with an interesting account of two men who are walking back to their hometown. We got a wasp in here. Walking back to their hometown from Jerusalem on the Sunday of the resurrection. All right, so let's get this straight. Here's the timeline. So Jesus was crucified either on Thursday or Friday. We don't really know which. And then he rose on Sunday. And that afternoon, two of his followers, one of them was named Cleopas. We don't know what the other one was. They're headed back to a town called Emmaus. And so you may have heard the road to Emmaus before. That's an expression many people talk about. And so so they're walking back home and they're talking and they're stunned. I mean, they're shocked by what has happened in Jerusalem. A week prior, they had watched Jesus come in like a king. They watched while people threw the palm branches down and threw their coats down and said, "Here is our king." And then as the week went by, things started to change. And people started to turn their backs on Jesus. And by the end of the week, he had been crucified. And these two men, like every other person alive at that time, just sat there stunned. I mean, they were shocked. All of Jesus' followers, they were dumbfounded at what had happened. And they're trying to make sense of this. So they're walking back to Emmaus, and they're talking. Let's pick it up in verse number 13 of Luke chapter 24. "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. That's 60 furlongs. We don't really know what a furlong is. It was actually a term that was used for common races. So I don't know, is that a half mile? Is it a mile? No, I don't really know how far that is. I just know it was a pretty long journey, so they had plenty of time to talk. All right, so as we, so they're walking together. And as they talk together of all these things which had happened, so they're trying to figure this out. And they're remembering bits and pieces, and they're saying, how could this happen? What's going on? And at some point, we know, through other things they've written, they had spoken to, or they had at least heard about, an empty tomb. They had heard that the tomb was empty when the ladies showed up there. And then they also heard that these same ladies had said that they saw an angel who told them, and then they saw Jesus. And they also heard that Simon saw it. Now again, I don't know if they believed all that, if that was sort of they heard of the alleged resurrection, okay, is what I put in your study guide. So they're trying to process this. They're trying to figure it out. They're trying to say, what's going on? What's happened in the last couple of days? And they're talking together. And while they're talking, suddenly Jesus appeared just like Paula, right in the middle of them. He was just sort of there. But they didn't recognize him. They were blinded to him. So let's pick up the reading in verse 15. "It came to pass that while they talked together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near So I think they must have, he must have maybe come up behind them, and suddenly he was walking with them and went with them. Verse 16, but their eyes were blinded. We're going to really look at this tonight. Their eyes were blinded so that they did not know him. So they're walking along and they're talking. Jesus shows up, and then Jesus does this. Instead of saying, hey guys, it's me, he says, hey, I kind of overheard your conversation. What's going on with what you're talking about? And they looked at him because he had basically said, hey, what are you talking about? And they looked at him almost like, seriously? What are you, from another planet? And they said, are you so new to Jerusalem that you don't know what has happened here? Now, what that tells me is this thing of Jesus, what happened in Jerusalem, the crucifixion and the resurrection, this was such a major deal, everybody in Jerusalem knew about it. It was huge. It was not just some guy that was crucified outside the city and maybe a handful of people saw it. No, the entire city had been affected by Jesus, and the entire city had been affected by Jesus' death. And now they're trying to figure out how many people are affected by this story that he has resurrected. So this is kind of the backdrop of this story. So Jesus is now talking to them, and he asked them what they're talking about, and they said, you know, that here's what we know. And they told him the story. They said, here's what we know. We know that we believe this guy. They were absolute believers in Jesus Christ. But I want to take a time out for a minute. When I say they were absolute believers in Jesus Christ, what do you think that means? Because, so let me put it in perspective. How many of us here, we also believed that Jesus was a real person, we believed in Jesus sort of prior to becoming a Christian. Like, did you, Sherry, before you became a Christian, before you made the decision to really follow Jesus, you believed he was real, right? You believed in him. You know, and I think we all have that story, right? You kind of have to believe he's a real person before you can put your faith and trust in him for your salvation, right? So there's a difference. We use that term believers. Well, believe what? You know, what do we believe? See, I think there's a lot of people, one of the parts of our segment of our society that we're really going to try to reach at Easter time is people who I think they still believe in Jesus, they don't believe in church. They believe in Jesus, they don't believe in Christians. They believe in Jesus, but they don't really believe all that stuff in the Old Testament. You know, where God killed all those people or told his people to kill all them. They've got some issues with some of that. But I think they still, you know, believe in Jesus. And there are a lot of people who believe that Jesus was a good man, a prophet. They love his teachings. What they don't love is all the things that are done with his teachings today. So this is kind of, I'm not splitting hairs here. These two men are an example of everybody at that time who had been following Jesus. They believed in him. They believed he was the Messiah that they had always heard about. Now, there's mainly Jews we're talking about here. So that's kind of the backdrop, and that's kind of where we're at now. So the question then is, why didn't they recognize him? What does this mean that their eyes were blinded and they didn't know him? Well, I'm going to make a couple statements here. First of all, the reason these men didn't recognize him is the exact same reason that they were stunned by his death. They didn't expect him to die. That also happens to be the reason they didn't recognize him. Just stay with me. It's also the exact same reason that all the Jews of the day missed recognizing him even while he was alive and in his death. So that's kind of where we're going to go tonight, and I'll show you what I mean by this, because look at verse 16 again. Their eyes were blinded so that they did not know him. We have something, there's something about our nature, something about our minds that we all need to learn and talk about tonight, which is there are times when we believe something, and even if it's wrong, it's really hard to unbelieve it. It's really hard, once we see something a certain way, it is really difficult to change that. Let me give you an example. I'm going to show you a picture of a cat, okay? Take a look at the picture of this cat. You see the cat? Oh, wait. Now you see. Yeah. Okay. So now as soon as you realize there's also a mouse right in the center there. once you see this mouse, it's almost impossible to go back and see a cat now, isn't it? But you see what I mean? Don't do this, Tony. Don't mess my illustration up. But you see what I mean? So look, so our minds, when I said you were going to see a cat, you saw that immediately. And but once some of you saw the mouse immediately, but most people don't, they just see a cat. It's like, what's the big deal? And you say, well, yeah, but once you see that, once it's pointed out to us, once our minds get now fixated, it's hard to see anything but the mouse now. It's an optical illusion, and you've seen a lot of things like this. All right, let me show you another. I'm going to show you a picture of a dog. See the dog? But see, yeah, see, now you're looking for something. Now, how many of you now see the mom, the dad, and the baby? See, now that you've seen it, here's the point of this. Once you see it, do you see the mom, the dad, and the baby, Sue? Yeah. See, once you see it now, you can't look at it again and not see it. You follow me? This is how our minds work. So the reason that these two from Emmaus, just like all the other Jews, could not recognize Jesus was the Messiah is because they had a false belief in what the Messiah was. They were looking for something that didn't happen. And in fact, what they were looking for one thing and something else happened. And that's what we're going to talk about. This is why they couldn't recognize him, because they were expecting something completely different. You see, now what was it that they were expecting? Well, let's let them tell the story. Look at verse 21. Here's what they told Jesus was so concerning to them, what was so confusing to them, what was so unsettling to them. They said, we trusted that he was the one. He was the one to do what? We trusted that it had been he which was going to redeem Israel. Now, notice what that... Now, is he the one who's going to redeem Israel? Yes or no? Yes. What was their problem? They wanted it now. Not only did they want it now, they thought the Messiah would save Israel. They were looking for a Messiah and also a military king. So when Jesus came along and died, that ruined everything. In fact, when Jesus came along and they believed, even right up to the week before, they were still convinced that he was the Messiah. But when he died, they assumed he wasn't the Messiah now. We put our trust in the wrong guy. We put our trust in somebody who is just a really persuasive speaker, because our Messiah doesn't die before he first saves Israel. So now, where did they get such an idea? Okay, now keep in mind, what was it that Jesus was talking to them all the time about? My kingdom, right? Kingdom of heaven is like unto, the kingdom of heaven is like unto, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness and all these. Jesus was constantly, while he walked the earth, talking about his kingdom. Where else would they get such a crazy idea that he was going to become the savior of Israel militarily? Well, how about Isaiah chapter 9? We read it every year at Christmas. For unto us a child is born. Yeah, we know who that is. That's Jesus. Unto us a son is given. That's Jesus. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the one who's going to die on a cross and get buried. No. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Keep going. Verse 7. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. See, the question is not how it's going to end. But the question is, when was it going to begin? They thought it was going to begin right now. Upon the throne of David. Look, what does this sound like to you? Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice and henceforth, even forevermore. How would you read this? Look, if you were a Jew at the time, isn't that how you'd read that? Our Messiah is going to come and he's going to take over. He's going to save us. He's going to put those Romans in their place. He's going to put these religious bigots in their place. He's going to come and he's going to take all of us people that are Jews, and he's going to put us back up on top. And Israel is once again going to be the superpower of the world. And we will be free. And then they watched while those same Romans took him, nailed him to a cross, and killed him. And so everything that they knew pointed toward a Messiah who was going to come as a military leader. This is why they missed it. See, they were believers while Jesus walked the earth. They were believers when he did the Sermon on the Mount. You know, when he said, hey, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the peacemakers and all that. Blessed are those, you know, when he was doing all that stuff, when he was saying, you know, kingdom of heaven is like unto a fig tree. Kingdom of heaven is like unto a lost pearl. Kingdom of heaven is like unto a lost coin. Kingdom of heaven. All these stories, and they're going, man, this is so great. We're about to be free. We're about to have it made. And then he died. And so they're stunned and they're shocked. And they're saying, we believed him. We believed him. We believed him that he was going to do all this. And now they're not sure what they believe. And remember, this story is taking place while Jesus is walking with these two. These two are, it's not just these two men though. It's all the Jews, including the apostles, including Peter and John and James and all of those guys. So let me make a big statement here again. The very thing that allowed the Gentiles to believe in Jesus was also the thing that caused most of the Jews to not believe in him. I'll let that sink in a minute. You see, because he died and rose again, he opened up the door for the Gentiles. He opened the door up for us. Had the Jews accepted him when he came, had he come to them and said, hey, let's do this thing, he would have actually made good on that. He would have become their king had they accepted him spiritually first, but they didn't. They rejected him. And so now just a handful of people accepted him. But that very thing. So the answer to that, you know, what is that thing that allowed the Gentiles to believe in Jesus was his death. It was his death. He died. He died. Physically, he died. His body died. There's a movement out in our world, even within Christian circles sometimes, to one of the things that some of the Jews will use to say that there was no resurrection, for example. And by the way, the Jews are still God's people. I'll come back to that at the end. Don't think I'm being derogatory toward them. But one of the things that they at the time said was, well, he never really died. He was only like that Princess Bride movie. He was only mostly dead. Remember that? You know, He didn't really have to be resurrected because he never really died. That's not true. He died. He died and he was buried, and they didn't expect that. That was shocking to them. The reason they couldn't see it is because the Old Testament spoke. Watch, here's the thing. Again, remember, where'd they get that idea? They got it from Scripture. The Scripture we read in Isaiah is just one of hundreds to talk about that. The problem is the Old Testament prophets talked about two comings of the Messiah, not just one. And they didn't know the difference. They didn't know the difference. You see, when they would read Scripture about the king taking over and sitting upon the throne of Israel, they did not realize that there was actually going to be a gap. There was going to be a gap between Jesus, the Messiah's suffering, and his coronation, his suffering for the people. They thought he was going to be pushed, they believed. Okay, watch. The Jews of the time, when they watched what happened to Jesus that week, they watched while the crowd pushed him around. They watched while Pilate did that. They watched while he was betrayed. They watched while they lied about him. They watched while he was beaten. They even watched while he went to the cross, and I think until the very end, they thought he was going to say, enough of this. Now let me show you who I really am. But he didn't. He died. It was over. So it's kind of like this. I was going to illustrate this tonight with some people, but let me just kind of I was actually going to use Robert Schwanger, but he's not here tonight, and he's the only giant I know, and a couple others. But so here's what happened. If you can imagine, you know, looking at a mountain range from the end, they were kind of looking this direction, and this as they read the scriptures visually, they got this image of a mountain rising up ahead of them, with a taller peak behind it. And so they were looking, and if you can imagine a cross on that first mountain, that's what they were looking at. They were looking at persecution. They were looking at their leader being pushed, being attacked. And they thought he was going to vanquish them in that attack, and he would ascend up the rest of the way and become king. What they didn't realize was, in between this shorter mountain and this next mountain where he became king, was a valley called the church. The church, which is what we live in. You see, they couldn't see it because they were looking straight ahead. All they saw were two peaks of the same mountain. What they didn't realize was there was actually a valley in between that had a gap, there was a gap, and that's called the church. Jesus knew it was going to happen because Jesus is God. God knew it was going to happen. But honestly, I don't think the Old Testament prophets knew. I'm not sure the Old Testament prophets knew what they were writing about, because they were a part of that system where they thought the Messiah is going to save Israel. Is all that true? Was God lying when he said all that? When God told the Jews, the Messiah is going to save Israel, he's going to gather all of Israel back together, he's going to make you once again a powerful people, he's going to love you, and he's going to lead you, he will be your king. Was God lying, yes or no? No. That is going to happen. But the people of Jesus' day didn't know they weren't going to get to see it for 2,000 years. They're not going to see it in their earthly bodies because he was rejected by them. And so there was this time period in between called the church. All right, so that's kind of why they messed it up. Now, even those disciples, Peter, James, John, Matthew, Thomas, Bartholomew, all these names we talk about, these 12 apostles minus Judas who killed himself, these 11 apostles that were left, even they were confused at this time. Let's take a look at their story. Go back to verse number 3. So the women had gone to the tomb, and they found it empty, and so they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed. Wait, time out. Why were they so perplexed? But Jesus had clearly told them he was going to die, didn't he? How many different ways did he have to say it? As Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth for 3 days. The Son of Man must be lifted up, and if I am lifted up, then I will draw all men unto myself. What do they think that meant? Now, you know, that one you could kind of read two ways, but he talked about it over and over and over again. He said the Son of Man must be killed. He's going to be betrayed by his own. He said, I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. And yet, on that third day, on Easter morning, they're perplexed. They have no idea what to think because they were blinded, because they were still going on what the Old Testament prophets said instead of what Jesus said. Now, can I take a time out for a second? How many churches are doing that same stupid thing today? Now look, I'm not trying to rail on church. You know that. I'm not doing that. But if you got any kind of, if you got any churchy background in you at all, like I do, there's a whole lot of churches that are believing the Old Testament rather than what Jesus said. I mean, they're believing all those laws are still in effect, even though Jesus said they're not. I'm giving you something different. Love God and love your neighbor. But how many times, see, so this, it's really not any different today than it was back then, but the difference is they didn't have 2,000 years worth of history to see this a little clearly like we do. We can look back at the cross. We shouldn't be that stupid, right? If you're listening online, if you're listening to this message online, you shouldn't be that stupid. Because Jesus couldn't be any more clear. He said, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again, and he did. But he also said, I don't want you doing religion the way that it always was done. Don't do that anymore. Don't tell your people they have to give. Don't tell your people that they have to keep these holidays and that they have to. Look, if you want to do something for Lent, God bless you. But you're not getting any points in heaven for it. Look, I'm just being straight with you. This is Wednesday night crowd. Please understand, and I'm not trying to be hurtful. There are wonderful, amazing, better Christians than I am that are giving up something for Lent. All I know is I've got lint in my belly button. How's that image for you? You want to see it? You're getting nothing in heaven. You're getting 0 points in heaven for giving up whatever on Friday. Look, if you want to eat fish on Friday, that's fine. But do it because you like it. Don't do it because you think somehow it's pleasing to God. It's not. It's not. He said, Jesus, in fact, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I think, in fact, in some ways, that's insulting to Jesus. Because it's like he said, didn't I deal with that? Didn't I tell you those days are over? Why do you listen to the Old Testament instead of me? The Old Testament is good. It was written for us, but not, help me, to us. It's great examples. It's great for context. It's great to get a basis upon which Jesus built. But it is not how we're supposed to live. So he would be much more pleased if we would get out here and show love to people instead of railing on people because they're eating the wrong thing on the wrong day and they're not holding this holiday and you didn't put ash on yourself and you didn't do this and all those things. And Jesus doesn't care about any of that stuff. So we have this concept here, and they were perplexed. They just didn't get it, even though he had been very clear with them. We've got to hurry. Look at verse number 6. So the angel then says to the women, he's not here, but he's risen. And then I think with a little sarcasm, look, I read my Bible differently than you do, that's fine, but I got to believe there's a little sarcasm here when he says, do you not remember how he said unto you? Yeah, he was a little cryptic here. You know, maybe it's a little vague. But here's what he said to you when he was yet in Galilee. Verse 7. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. I know that's not real clear. I know he was sort of speaking in riddles here. I mean, you could take that a lot of different ways. Are you serious? I mean, the angel's going, what is your problem? Yeah, yeah. What is your malfunction? This is so clear. He said, why are you here looking for the living among the dead? Because he told you he wouldn't be here. And he told you he wouldn't stay dead. So this is the angel then talking to the women. And again, this is all lead up to the whole story of Jesus coming along the side of these men. This is early in the chapter. All right, so we're just kind of getting the backstory here. So this is what happened, and this is what they heard about. This is what those two men were talking about on their way back to Emmaus. And then these women, though, so they didn't just keep this to themselves. They went back to the 11. Now watch verse number 11. They told Peter, Peter, you're not going to believe this. Jesus rose, he's resurrected. The angel said he's alive. James, look, we got this thing wrong. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. And they believed them not. Are you not with me where you're like a face plant? I mean, what is this? What are you, not face plant, face palm, what is it? What is this? Come on, millennial, tell me what this is. It's this. Face plant's where you fall down. Huh? Oh, no, not behaved, not that. That's something totally different. They didn't believe him. They just didn't believe him. Peter didn't believe that Jesus had risen. And John, who put his head right here on Jesus at the Lord's Supper and said, I know you love me. He didn't believe him. They thought he was still dead. They just didn't believe it. So this is the atmosphere of the time. Nobody, let me say it this way. This is how it went down, folks. No one thought Jesus was going to die. And no one believed that he was going to rise again. And they didn't even believe the stories after the angel told them. I think the women did. Yes. Yeah, their mind was still fixed on that. Exactly. They weren't even considering it, were they? Exactly. That's exactly right, Doug. They were still looking at that mountain. They're saying, look, we can clearly see it. We see suffering, yes. Attacks, yes. But we see the Messiah. If he's truly the Messiah, he'd be king right now. He would have put them down when they started. He would never have allowed them to do this. He would never have allowed them to put a nail through him. See, they just didn't believe it. And so, how do you think Jesus responded to all this? So Jesus is now, well, let's fast forward now. So Jesus is with these two men going to Emmaus. And they've told him, we are so confused. We don't know what happened. We watched him come in like a king. Then they killed him. And then we don't know what to believe now, because some people are saying he rose again, and you know, some are saying they stole his body, and we just don't know what to do. How do you think Jesus responded to them? Do you think Jesus said, oh, listen, let me comfort you. It's okay. It's okay. Watch what Jesus thought about this whole thing. Watch what he said in verse 25. He said, you fools.
Amen.
That's what he said. He said, you fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Now, at this point, they got to be going, wait, we've been talking, we do believe the prophets. We do believe the prophets. He said, you don't believe all of them. You believe the part you've been trained to believe. You still can only see the cat or the mouse or whichever one you want to look at. He said, you've believed this thing. Let's be honest now. Do any of us have that same problem with things in this life? Have you ever believed in something so strongly? You were sure you were right. And you didn't even want to consider anything else. Man, that used to be my life. I mean, take me back 10 years. Man, when you were in school with me, you were wicked if you wore shorts. Because the Bible says in the Old Testament, man's supposed to have his thighs Now, let me just say, there's some of you men, you need to keep your thighs covered. Not for religious reasons, but for decency reasons. I'm just saying. When he was in school with me, there was only one kind of music you listened to. And everything else was wicked. Everything else would lead you right into the filthiest of rock and rap and all that other stuff. You know, and I could go on and on and on. You know, all you women, if you're not wearing a long skirt down to your ankles, you're shameful. You're a disgrace. I was going to use a word. I was going to use a different word than that. But, huh? Donna, did you say that? Oh, you said that? Nancy? Well, I would have thought Nancy would have used a much worse word than that. I just assumed that was one of you. Go figure. So, but yeah, you go back in time. And I was sure those were right. I was absolutely convinced. And I didn't want to hear anything else. Don't tell me anything different. Don't tell me. The King James Bible is the only one you can use. Everything else is all a product of hell. You can't even get saved. Read an NIV. You can't do any of that stuff. And I believed all that. Didn't we? You believed that stuff too, didn't you? There's no scripture to back that up except the Old Testament. And Jesus said, you're fools. And you're slow of heart to believe that the prophets have spoken. What he was talking about was the more important things the prophets talk about. Look at verse 26. He said, wasn't Christ prophesied to suffer these things and enter into his glory? He said, this is what the prophets said he was supposed to suffer. Everything that happened is there, but you got so fixated on this one idea that it's all going to happen at the same time. You got so fixated on he's going to suffer, but he's going to immediately vanquish his enemies, and he's going to become king, and he's going to lead us out of this, and we're all going to be there. That's what you wanted to believe, and so that's what you do believe. And then I died, and your whole plan unraveled. That's basically what he was saying to them. So the few hundred Jews of the time Jesus believed at that time, they believed again. So watch, here's we're going to wrap this up. So the apostles, the two to Emmaus, they believed again. They realized, because they realized, oh, wow, we missed it. It is what he said. And they remember all the things he taught them. And they allowed themselves to change focus because they believed the second time around. They realized, yeah, that's right. I knew he was the Messiah. I knew he was. Now I get it. See, they had to engage their heart or their head as well as their heart. And we got to do the same thing. We got to do the same thing. If we're going to reach anybody, we're going to have to engage our heads also, not just our hearts. Preaching can't just be rhetoric. Preaching can't just be emotional. It's got to be real. It's got to be substantive, and it's got to be something worth believing in. And we got to be right. We got to be truthful in this thing. So that's what Jesus was saying to them. Now, the sad part about all this is, this opened the door up for us and for those handful of Jews who would actually begin the church. They're the ones who would form the early church. But the door was closing on the Jews. The rest of Israel, the door was closing because they didn't accept him as he was. And so Jesus kind of gave the final prophecy. Let's just close this out tonight by reading some scripture. Jesus sort of gave the final prophecy here himself. He quotes from Isaiah, but watch what he says concerning the Jews. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while will the light be with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light. Who's he talking about? Talking about himself, right? That you may be children of light. These things spoke Jesus and departed and hid himself from them. Verse 30, we're just going to keep reading. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Wait, time out. Let's go back. I know I said that. Thank you. Watch. Yet they believed not on him. Did they still believe in him? Yes. There are a lot of people who believe in him, but they didn't believe on him. Now, verse 38. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. See, even their doubts and their disbelief was prophesied. Therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they will not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. Now, before we leave this, I want to make sure that we're all very, very clear about this. This passage right here is not talking about those people who were there with Jesus. This is talking about the Jews today. Today. Today, the nation of Israel is not wicked, not evil, and not forgotten by God. But God is the he there, by the way. God has blinded their eyes. He said, you had your chance 2,000 years ago. You rejected him. So he has blinded their eyes. Now, because otherwise, aren't you like me? Wouldn't you be looking at this today with all the information now? Couldn't somebody who's Jewish get online now and study and read and look at the Old New Testament, the Old Testament, and say, whoa, I mean, look at all the stuff we've been looking at, and say, how did my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpappy miss this? Jesus is the Messiah. All Jews would be saved today if they just read. We think, but they're not. They're blinded because God has a plan for them, and that plan is going to come into effect later in the future after the church age is over. Is everybody with me on that? We are living in an age now that they don't understand. We are experiencing something that Jews don't understand. It's called grace. It's called grace. All they know is works and faith. We understand grace and faith. So God is not going to forget his people. He is going to come back to them someday. And when he does, the nation of Israel will have another opportunity. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Please don't take me to, look, we can have a debate about it. We can discuss this if you want to. This is everything I've given you now is fact out of Scripture. Yes? I hope you're convinced of that. What I'm going to give to you right now is my opinion, just my opinion. And I don't have a lot to back it up with. But my opinion is that God is going to give all of the Jews who have lived in the last 2,000 years and even prior to that, he's going to give them an opportunity to accept Jesus as their king. I don't think that Jews who have died are lost forever. I think there's enough scripture that says they might very well be most of the inhabitants of the millennium, if you know what I mean by that. We're going to be studying that next few weeks. What's going to happen next? What's the next thing on Jesus' calendar? We're going to be looking at what happens next. I think God is going to resurrect them all physically, give them another opportunity to make a decision about Jesus Christ with a little bit better information. Because otherwise, it would be really unfair to them. Because as we've seen tonight, had we been a Jew back in Jesus' day, I don't know if we would. We probably wouldn't have. There were only a handful of people who were able to see through that. And even they didn't truly believe until after they saw him resurrected. That's what it took. And that's what it took for the church to get started. And that's what we're going to be continuing to look at as a church. And I hope that you found it worthwhile to come tonight. And that's why they're blinded now.